Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the giver of all good gifts. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially on an overcast, rainy day like today. If you're here for the first time or if you've just begun attending, we're especially glad that you chose to get out and be here with us for worship this morning. Those of us who are here week in and week out will try to seek out unfamiliar faces and introduce ourselves to you and welcome you. But if we don't get to you soon enough, you just come down here and introduce yourselves to us, because we want to know you and we would love it if you would make your home here with us. One way to do that is by being involved in what God is doing through this church. You can learn a good bit about that through your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few things that you will need to know, especially for the coming week. First of all, tomorrow the church will be closed. The church office and preschool will be closed in observance of the Labor Day holiday. We'll open again early Tuesday morning. We have exceeded our $30,000 goal for our Habitat build. Thank you for all your generosity. Thank you for those who supported our work and to those who have signed up to actually do the physical labor. We still need some volunteers, especially for September 20th and October 4th. You can go on the website and register there. Put your name in there if you want to. Our Wednesday evening programming began this past week. It continues this week in full swing. Our dinner is at 5 p.m. It's always delicious, and it's always helpful if you can make a reservation, just to be sure we have enough. You can do that by either calling the church office or emailing Kirk Clark. You can make a standing reservation if you know you're going to be here every week. We would appreciate that. Now, beginning this Wednesday, there are three engaging Bible studies, and you'll see that on your bulletin insert. Invitation to Romans, the Covenant Bible Study, and the Young Adult Bible Study. I hope you will read more about those and be involved in those. There's also a table in Reed Hall where you can learn more about those Bible studies. And Current begins, our Wednesday evening programming in the four-story theater begins this week. We'll be focusing throughout the month of September on place. And this coming Wednesday, Mark Forrester, who is the chaplain at Vanderbilt University, will be with us. And we'll be dealing with such questions as, where's the first place you encountered God? Where have you encountered God in this community, in the Nashville area? Where have you encountered the sacred here at West End? Where have you encountered God here? What makes these places holy places for you? Come and join us in this conversation. We would love it. And then finally, I want to briefly introduce you to Matt Phelps. Matt played the opening voluntary. He is our new minister of music. I'll give him a more complete introduction next week, but since he's helping to lead the service today, I want you to be sure and at least meet him briefly. Matt, we're delighted that you're here with us. Take a moment and breathe in the presence of God, the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Think about all the gifts that God has placed in your life. Then, when Jesus says to us, "You give them something," we'll be ready.
those who are hungry, Jesus says,
"Come and eat. There's more than enough for all."
To those who are thirsty, Jesus says,
"Come and drink. It's free for the taking."
Jesus says, "The food I offer will truly satisfy.
And in me you will find everything you need."
As a community of faith, let us now join our voices together in confession. We come believing in our emptiness, believing that we will never have enough, believing that what we have is unworthy. We come fearful of sharing, fearful of losing our tenuous grip on security, fearful of touching and knowing the pain of others. We come overwhelmed by the hunger, overwhelmed by the suffering of children near and far, overwhelmed by the endless tales of senseless violence, greed, and death. We come aching from the weight of the responsibility, aching from the chilling challenge of knowing our abundance, aching from the gnawing awareness that we have much to share. Forgive us, God, for our misguided beliefs, for unnecessary fears, for how easily overwhelmed we are, and for the aches we carry on. Hear these words of assurance. God forgives all and promises to meet all our needs. May we live empowered, inspired, and strengthened by this good news.
Oh,
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, come on down. If you'd like to bring one of your parents with you or a grandparent, that's fine too. They're welcome to come on down and sit with us. When our story begins today, Jesus is very tired and very sad. He wants to go to some place where he can be quiet, where he can pray, where he can think, where he can miss John the Baptist. But people knew Jesus already and knew what he could do because he had been helping them all around the countryside. And so they followed him there. A huge crowd of people followed him there. So here he was. He wanted to have a little rest. He wanted to be able to think and pray. He wanted to just take it easy for a while. But when all that crowd of people came, the Bible says Jesus had compassion on them. He knew that they needed what he had to offer. And even though he had wanted some time to himself, he decides he will preach to them, he will teach them, he will heal them. And so he first starts off standing in a boat so he'll have room to speak to the big crowds. And then he goes about healing and teaching and doing everything that they need. And by that time, it's evening. It's almost supper time. So his disciples, his followers, his closest friends said, well, you know, why don't we just send them away? Because, you know, there's no McDonald's and there's no Burger King and there's no Kentucky Fried Chicken and there are no food trucks out here in the wilderness. They need to go back home and get something to eat. And Jesus says the craziest thing. He says, you give them something. Now, there are 5,000 people out there, not counting the women and children. They're thinking, what do we have to give them? We just brought our own dinner. Jesus says, what do you have? Well, we have, let's see, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus says, give them to me. So he prays over them, he blesses them, he breaks the bread, and he sends his friends out to feed the crowds. Now, they don't think it's going to go very far, but by the time they finish, everybody's had enough to eat. And when they collect all the scraps that are leftovers, there are 12 baskets left over. So they have plenty for themselves and more. Now, we're going to talk today a little bit. I'm going to talk in the sermon a little bit about that thing that Jesus said. You give them something. Because we're Jesus' partner in helping with the world. And I'm going to talk about some of the ways that we as a church are Jesus' partner in helping with the world. And so you listen for some of the ways that we have answered Jesus' call when he said, you give them something. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us so much. Thank you for allowing us to share it and with your help being able to share with others, especially those who are in great need. With your help, we know that we can truly respond to Jesus' call to give the others what they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. The story immediately before this one is about Herod's birthday party. Okay? You couldn't have two more different stories set side by side. Now, Herod knew how to throw a party, especially for himself. Herod was of a mind that it was everybody for themselves and everybody ought to send stuff his way. You know? He felt very much entitled to as much as he could get and maybe a little bit more. During the course of the birthday party, the daughter of Herodias does a dance. And Herod is very much impressed by this dance and tells her so. Now, we do not know how much wine Herod had before he gave this particular judgment of this particular dance. But he says something that he will later live to regret. He says, ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. He was thinking money, maybe. He was thinking any kind of material thing. He had lots of it. She said, bring me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Matthew said he was sad about that. Now, he had arrested John. He had already thrown him into prison. But apparently he didn't have plans to execute him, at least not then. But he had promised. And even though Herod was notorious for breaking other promises, he kept this one. Before you know it, the head of John the Baptist was brought in on the platter. You know, that's when the party really begins. The disciples came, took the body, and buried it. We have no idea what happened to the head. And then they went and they told Jesus. That is when Jesus decides to go to a deserted place. He is in deep grief for his friend, for his kinsman. Some would say his teacher. He's wanting to get away from the crowds that have called on him relentlessly, who have followed him everywhere, wanting to hear what he has to say, wanting him to teach and preach, wanting him to heal them. He just needed a little time, a little rest, a little time to grieve and pray. And so he went away to a deserted place. But the crowds knew where he was going, followed him there. And before he could have any time to himself, there they were. With all the needs that they had had all along. And Matthew says he had compassion on them. Even though he would have preferred to take that time for himself, he has compassion on them, so he preaches and he teaches and he heals. And they get what they need. Is there anything more different than Herod, who is trying to take everything to himself? Herod, the hedonist, who wants more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And Jesus, who, when he wants just a little quiet time, can't even get that because he feels compassion for those in need. At the end of the day, you heard the story as I told it to the kids. His disciples come, and they're not like Herod. I mean, they're not people who think that they need to have everything. But by their comment, we do understand that they figured that everybody was on their own. They said, look, it's time for them to eat. They're going to be hungry. This huge crowd, send them away. They need to go back to their homes or someplace else and get something to eat. We've got ours, they can find theirs. But apparently Jesus doesn't work on that theory. I'm assuming that this is still coming out of his compassion for the crowd. He says, you give them something. All they had is what they had brought for their supper. And it wasn't much, considering you're feeding 12 if Jesus eats 13 on 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It was theirs. It was all they had. But Jesus takes it. He offers a prayer blessing. He breaks the bread and he sends it out. And there's plenty for everyone and more left over. You know, I'm not sure why feeding those in need is not a sacrament. Because you see, our definition of a sacrament is that it's something Jesus commanded us to do, and it's something he himself did. Well, in this story, Jesus commands his followers to give them something, to feed those in need, and then after blessing and breaking the bread, he does it himself. I'm not sure why it's not a sacrament. We here at West End try to follow that. We try to respond to that call of Jesus, you give them something. Each year, including our apportionments, our budgeted giving, special offerings, this church gives over $500,000 to help others. And that doesn't even count what Sunday school classes do, what individuals do. Now, that's not bragging. That's just something that most of you don't know. And you need to know it. Now, we're probably, we Methodists, the only people in the world who still use the word apportionment. So most of us don't know what it means. But I like it. I'm glad we've kept it. Because you, when you break it down, you can say it is a portion meant for others. Now, what do apportionments go for? Well, they go for a lot of things. Apportionments go to support the only university in Zimbabwe that stayed open, held classes, graduated people through all the years of the recent trouble. Never closed a day. You were there. You were part of that. Africa University. That money supports those who come to Pulaski, Tennessee, to Martin Methodist College, many of whom are the first ones in their family to attend college and find there an education that gets them started in life to serve the whole community. You're there. Do you know that? It sends missionaries all over the world. Now, some of those are medical missionaries, some of those are teaching missionaries, some of those are preaching missionaries. Some of those missionaries are helping people find clean water, which is a huge problem. We don't think of it as a problem because we never have to go without water. In much of the world, it is a huge problem. Helping folks to cultivate nutritious foods so that they can have enough to eat. You're there. Did you know that? That's a part of what you're doing. Now, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but doesn't part of that go for your pension and insurance? Yes, it does. That's so I won't move in with you when I retire. Aren't you glad? In fact, it pays for all of your clergy on staff, your elders and deacons. But in addition, it pays for dozens of other pastors who would not be able to serve, who would not have insurance or pension in little churches, in urban areas and in rural areas where they would not have a full-time pastor if it weren't for you. You are in each and every one of those churches. It pays for a lot of agencies as well, and we are fortunate because we're literally surrounded by our national agencies. We really don't take advantage of that enough. But to say the word agency really doesn't tell the story. Because you see, a part of what that money goes for is to assure that there will be campus ministers on campuses all around the world, not just in this country, all around the world, when students come back to school each fall. There will be a United Methodist presence to welcome everyone, to welcome all. They help assure that there will be chaplains in the military, so wherever people are serving around the world, there will be a presence of this church, of you, in prisons, in hospitals. They assure that there are scholarships available for people to go to school, undergraduate, or to continue their education, to do ministerial studies. You are there. They help assure that churches along our southwestern border can serve refugee children when they come their way and care for them when they have no one else to care for them and when many others reject them. You are there. We are welcoming those children. You may not know this, but United Methodist Communications has been in the forefront of using social media across Africa to get out accurate information about the Ebola virus. Do you know that? We have taken the lead in that, one of these agencies, and you're there. You're assisting in ways you never imagined. Now, could we do better? Oh, sure. Of course we could. It's not that we should rest on our laurels, but I think it is to acknowledge the fact that we are trying in this congregation to respond to Jesus' command, you give them something. You give them something. You go up into eastern Kentucky, you will find that there's education going on that wouldn't be going on in some of those areas. There's medical care going on in some of those areas. You're there. You are there. So that's why sometimes I remind folks to keep up with their pledges. Not just because we're to be accountable to each other. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. But because all of this work, our responding to Jesus' call, you give them something, depends upon all of our efforts together. During the summer, those pledges go down, and this summer they've gone down a little more than in the past. That's not my problem. That's all of our problem. We don't want it to be a problem for those people who depend upon these ministries around the world. So, we offer what we can, what we have. We offer something to others. And believe me, when it's all said and done, we are the ones who receive the great blessings. There are people who visit this congregation from literally around the world to tell us about what's happening in the lives of people where they live. We receive the blessing of knowing that some of the things that we take for granted, other people can at least have a basic standard of living. We are a part of that, and we are present because all of us together can do more than any one of us alone. And so we work in faith that year by year, we can offer to others what Jesus told us to. Maybe it's 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe it's a portion of what we give week in and week out, and probably don't even think that much about where it goes or what it's used for. Maybe it's our way of being around the world wherever crowds gather, wanting to hear a word of life. A word of good news when they haven't heard any good news for a long, long time. We are there. Someone is there on our behalf. They're taking what they have. They're breaking it, and they're sharing it, and they're blessing it. And we believe that whenever we do that, that we are responding to what Jesus told us to do, which is, after all, the only reason we're here this morning, isn't it? Thanks be to God for all those who come together to help us do what Jesus has asked us to do. Amen. One way we remind ourselves of why we gather and why we do these things is through our creeds and affirmations. So I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 803 in your hymnal, and there you'll find a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. Please join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world, who has created, and is creating, who has come in
Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service today. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church. If you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate student, you are invited to meet with our student community and eat lunch together in room 322, which is also known as the Fireside Lounge. We gather each week to have faith discussion and fellowship. I invite you to take note of the gray card that you find in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. And on the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests that you have. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of our worship service today. Today we offer our sympathy to the Heron family who are mourning the loss of Richard Heron's father, who passed away on August the 22nd. His funeral was held in Tullahoma, Tennessee on August the 25th. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of stunning grace and acceptance, you share yourself with us and all your creation. You do not give some of your possessions, but your own life to us through Jesus Christ. You are nearer to us than ourselves, and you never stop calling us my beloved and my people. You humble yourself for those who are not great and respectable in human eyes, but are lifted up in your kingdom. You weep with those who weep in Gaza, Israel, the Ukraine, Iraq, West Africa, Ferguson, Missouri, and Nashville, Tennessee. You are in the midst of the death and destruction, illness and scarcity of food. May all brokenness be restored. Work in us to be a people of healing and grace in our own communities and around the world. We pray that you may touch the hurts, frustration, and loneliness in our lives. We understand that we have nothing to hide about ourselves before you, since you know everything about us and still love us, O God. We lift up our wounds, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual wounds to you. Use your grace and power, compassionate God, to breathe new life in us and recreate us. We pray for those who suffer from the pain of violence and war in this world, in our nation, and in our communities. Transform the world through your love, so that swords and weapons may be turned into plowshares. We give you thanks for those who find their security in your grace, not in aggression. Enable us to speak with clear voices and wisdom in the midst of violence, so that your kingdom may come on this earth. Lead us to share our concerns, our words of comfort, our knowledge, and our actions to offer help and to strengthen the needs of this world. Empower us to follow the example of Jesus in all aspects of our lives. And now we join our voices into one prayer, praying in the words Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts.
forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us give out of our gratitude for the blessings God has given each of us as we offer God's tithes and our offerings this morning.
like to invite the congregation to be seated because we have a surprise. We have people being presented for membership today. A number of these people graciously agreed to join this week instead of last week because of all the extra celebrations around Don Marler's last Sunday. Allow me to do some introductions. Justin, there you are. We'll begin with Justin Baines. Justin is semi-retired from the Army, and he has returned home and is enrolling in classes and continuing his education, and he'll be pursuing a degree at Austin Peay University. He is transferring from his home Methodist Church in Ripley, Tennessee. Next, we have Mr. Eddie Guak. Eddie is transferring from another local United Methodist Church, and he's married to West End staff member, the Reverend Lisa Guak, who is in her fourth week at West End as our Minister of Mission and Outreach. Next, we have the Gwynn family, and we'll begin with the patriarch, Dorothy Gwynn. Dorothy's already a member of the Upper Room Sunday School class and has been a wonderful gift to this congregation since he's been here. She is transferring from First United Methodist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. And then we have her son and daughter-in-law, Clint and Renee Gwynn, and their very talented fifth grader, Taylor, who is in the children's choir and has been a wonderful addition to that group. Clint is with Pathway Lending, and Renee is with Ernst & Young, and she's transferring in from another Christian denomination. Next we have Sarah Bonyi. Good. Bonyi. Sarah is with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Middle District of Tennessee here in Nashville. She and her husband, Marco, have one kindergarten-age child, Luca, and she is transferring from All Souls Episcopal in Washington, D.C. And then last but certainly not least is Mike Gabries. Mike is a teacher at Battleground Academy, and he was married earlier this summer, so he's had a bunch of new exciting things happening in his life. He teaches in Franklin at Battleground Academy. He's transferring from the Presbyterian Church in his hometown of Northville, Michigan. And we welcome all of these people. The first question is then addressed to Sarah, Renee, and Mike, coming from other Christian denominations. As members of Christ's Universal Church already, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. All right, and this question is for everyone here. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will. Great. I ask the congregation, do you give thanks for all that God has already given these friends and welcome them in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church? If you do, say, we do.
We do.
Do you also renew your own covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church by your own prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you do, say, we do.
We do.
Well, great. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as true disciples all of our days. And everyone is welcome to meet and welcome our newest members following the service out in Reed Hall. And we want to encourage all of our new members to go online and register to have your picture made for the photo directories that will be coming out in the not-too-distant future. There are two more days to have pictures made, and that goes to anyone else who has not yet had their appointments made. Welcome. Glad you're here, Justin.
Thank you.
And now I send you forth to take those gifts that God has planted in your life so abundantly and share those gifts with others, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, who is the giver of all good gifts, Jesus Christ, God's gift of love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow those commands that Jesus gave us, will be with you this week and forevermore. Go in peace.